Willkommen, this is Julia.
And this is Shane, who misses Think Plant-Based. Think Plant-Based. Make sure to check out recipes, health tips, travel tips at www.thinkplantbased.com.
And we're officially on iTunes, so please rate and write us a review on iTunes.
Write us a review. Give us 2 stars, 3 stars, maybe 5 stars. Let us know.
Oh, for sure, five.
Yeah, I mean, who would give us 2 stars anyways, yeah. Right? But yeah, make sure to do that because that's how we get found.
Today's a super special day.
Yeah, it always is a super special day. What are you talking about?
We have a very great friend of mine and yours, you know, on the podcast. So I'm very excited. I just love talking to her. She's just amazing.
Yeah. Takiri, hi.
Thank you. Hi there.
Welcome on the show. Yeah, no worries.
Thank you. So happy to have you.
I'm excited to talk to you guys as well. You're the two of the coolest people I know in town, so I'm really happy to have this conversation.
Well, thank you very much.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, the listeners don't know much about you, but Shane.
Yeah. So how about we start with in what way did like a plant-based lifestyle inspire you to be the author that you are today, and maybe talk about how you got into writing?
And yeah, talk also about like more about yourself, so we can get.
Sure.
Sure. You asked me how the plant-based lifestyle inspired me to be an author. It kind of happened the other way around.
Okay.
Becoming an author has really supported my plant-based lifestyle because I have more time, because my time and pace is mine now to manage. It's no longer someone else's. When you work for, I work for a very large organization and a demanding job, and you have the title, you have all that, but your time is not yours, right?
Right.
You have to be at meetings and you have to rush here and there. And it's a very, very difficult and very stressful environment. I think the entire world is going that route. It's a lot of people are living that lifestyle. It's very stressful. But changing that entire career and lifestyle to become an author means I can work at home. And I designed my life very purposefully. You know, when I decided to make the change, it wasn't, oh, tomorrow I'll be an author. But I said, how am I going to do this?
Right.
And looked at all the different facets of my life, from relationships to what I eat, where do I work out and when and how often, and finances. So I looked at all the different components, and nutrition played a huge role. And so I do things like I can cook at home, and I make sure that I don't set up meetings during my times when I dedicate to either meal prep or cooking and eating, because I try to be as mindful as I can. So the lifestyle really was supported by my changing career.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, cool. That's a good way to, you know, get on the healthy trip. I mean, obviously, if you have more time, you'll be able to, you know, go to the gym or you know, cook more. Did you find when you were like in the business world that it was hard to like sit down and cook because you're just so busy?
Yeah. Did you even have time? Yeah.
Yeah.
I did because it's funny. I love cooking. I've cooked ever since I was a little girl, 9 years old. I baked cakes. Aww. And I loved cooking, but it wasn't a plant-based. It was whatever was there.
Right.
And because I lived around the world, I grew up in Asia and Africa. I lived in Europe. You just cook whatever's around you, right? What you have.
Yeah. Sure.
And, so it wasn't very like, it was just cooking whatever I have. But back to the business world, I found that when I came home, if I had a bad day, I have a set of really, really expensive, but they're very important knives, kitchen knives, and yeah. I take my vegetables out. It's like almost,
therapeutic?
It's like a
yeah, that's how I feel about it, definitely.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And it really helped me to experiment and then forget about work for a little while and then also cook a decent meal and enjoy it, right?
Right.
So I did make the time. But I found, I don't know if you, I know Shane, you're interested in working out, and I know Julia yourself as well.
Yes.
But I paid quite an expensive martial arts program for the time I was working, but I found at 6 or 7 when I was supposed to be at the dojo, I was at my office in front of my computer, and I tell myself, no, another email, and I sit there, and even though I paid a lot of money for that program, I went hardly, like maybe 60%.
Right.
It was just, so it was not a very good lifestyle, and that's one of the reasons I changed it.
Right.
That's awesome.
That's good. You find like you weren't happy, right, where you were, and you changed it, because a lot of people have the problem, right? They think, oh, I can't like change my lifestyle. I got to make money. I got to pay bills, right? But I mean, you can still like change your job and still pay bills. You know, sometimes we like to be in our comfort zone, right? We're like, no, I know like here's certainty. You know, I can't stand like uncertainty and not knowing what's, if I change my job and can I, have still good like paycheck and everything, right? But yeah, it is possible, right?
You got to find a balance. If your balance is off key, your mental well-being is going to be off, and you're just not going to feel your best self all the time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so you got to really, compare everything together to make it work.
That's so true. I took 4 years to plan for this. It didn't happen just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a program manager for work, so I decided I'm going to use the tools and skills at work on myself. So I did my little project management, and I decided I'm a program, and I'm going to spend 4 years planning my next life. Whatever happens, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to get there. I set my goals. I planned. I budgeted. And then when I made the change, I downsized drastically. So like you said, you want to pay the bills, but if you're paying a bill, a mortgage for a, 5,000 square foot house, you can downsize. And I mean, I know it's hard if you have kids around, but there are always options. I always like to think that we always have answers if you look, and if you look, open eyes and look, and if you have the courage to make that step.
Yeah.
And the biggest way to do it is just realizing life's too short.
Right.
We humans don't have a huge, if you're lucky, we'll live to 100. That's not a heck of a long time.
No.
We go about pretending it's a long time, but it's not. So eating healthy, living a healthy lifestyle, and like you said, making sure your environment's good around you, that's, I think, important for that short time we're here on Earth.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah,
but
totally
I think
agree.
It's about simplifying your lifestyle as well.
Yes.
You know, if you feel like you have so much on your list and so much to do all the time, really you need to take the time for yourself and really like simplify life, you know, if it gets too complicated, overwhelming, and you can't sleep well and all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's so true.
Yeah. So how did you actually discover then the plant-based lifestyle? Like, how did it all get started? If you were always into traditional cooking and wherever you were, like be it in Europe and Asia, right? Like, how did you actually finally get to that plant-based train?
Well, what's interesting is, when you live, and you both travel extensively and you've lived in different places as well. So you know that the traditional cooking in different countries used to be, maybe not as much these days, used to be healthy lifestyles, right? They cook using local ingredients, and it's mostly plant-based.
Simple.
So I grew up, pardon me?
And simple, right? Like not like
exactly.
Preservatives and stuff. It was really like, eating local food as well. But yeah, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, we talked about the SAD diet, Standard American diet.
Right.
That's now everywhere. Like you see McDonald's everywhere. But when I was growing up and even living different places, I try to cook like the locals because that's what was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of ate healthy regardless, without knowing or without thinking. But 4 years ago, I started to realize people around me, my family, my friends, my colleagues, there was just a preponderance of chronic illnesses around me. There was lung cancer, breast cancer, melanoma. Like girlfriend I had who was always sun tanning, and she got a skin cancer.
Wow.
And then many people around me had high blood pressure because our work was really stressful. And I knew two colleagues who retired at 55, and they were so excited to retire because that was they're relatively young, very senior managers,
yeah.
But they had such stressful jobs, and one of them got a stroke, the other one died. Just after retirement.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
And they were planning to live around the, you know, travel around the world, and so they lived a very stressful lifestyle. I know what it's like, because I was at the office till 9 at night sometimes, and these people were the same way, and then one of them passed away. So all these chronic illnesses, I realized it's a lifestyle. And then I had an experience that really changed my life. It was a very close family member, healthy, fit as an ox, big strapping guy. He had an accident, and he was in a coma for 2 days. And I remember sitting at the edge of his bed, hospital bed in intensive care unit, just thinking how vulnerable our human bodies are, that you can be so strong and so healthy and invincible and think you can take over the world, and yet this can happen. He recovered and he's back to normal.
That's
very
good.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Yes. But I changed. Like, I just went through that experience and came out going, oh my God, I need to change my life, and I need to. And so I started to read up, you know, and then stumbled on the documentaries, Veducated, you know, these forks over knives and a whole bunch of stuff. And I slowly started cutting meat out. So that was the beginning of that journey. And then when I moved to Vancouver, so I never could cut out milk, cheese, eggs, and fish. It was like I had this thing inside of me saying, it was an excuse, a poor excuse. I could never go without cheese.
Yeah.
You know, I lived in Europe.
Yeah,
it's not, exactly.
Yeah.
And fish, like cheese for me was so important. It was married to a Quebecer, lived in Europe. It was like the fundamental part of your meal, right?
Right.
And fish,
yeah.
I'm from an island in the tropics. You eat fish. So I had this very bad limiting belief. And then the defining moment came. I don't mean to embarrass you, Julia, but I came to that grocery store demo that I know you organize them often, but I came to one of them in my first couple of months in Vancouver, and I watched, you showed us, you went, took us through this health food store, and just a regular grocery store. And you just turned around and said, look, all of it is right here. It's not that difficult to be plant-based. A huge shift in me to say, oh my God, I can do it without milk, cheese, and eggs and fish, as well as without meat as well.
Right.
That was a very big learning moment. And at the end of it, I don't know if you remember this, I came to you and I said, you know, I can't give up cheese and fish. And you said something that I'll always remember. You said, yes, I remember fish was the last thing I gave up.
Right.
And I had a hard time with cheese too.
Yeah.
And you said that. And I drove away home and thinking, you know, what Julia said was really profound there. First of all, you showed us that it's practical. It's not that difficult. It's all here. We just have to start making different choices and get rid of those limiting beliefs. So I will always remember that. And so I dug up some more. I started researching some more and I learned how milk gets made. It just shocked
me. The truth, that, when you start getting the knowledge of where your food's coming from, you're like,
source.
Really? That's made from there? I'm like, that doesn't seem like I want to pay someone to do
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's not really about like only like, oh yeah, it's for health, right? It's also about why would you support other creatures suffering so you can get all the cheese you want, you know?
Yes.
Instead of like making cheeses out of nuts. Right, or in other great sources.
A lot of people don't even know you can make cheese out of like cashews and stuff.
Exactly.
I know,
like,
what
vegan cheese do you eat? I'm like, oh, you know, tapioca type cheese, cashew cheese. They're like, you can make cheese out of cashews. I'm like,
and potatoes?
It's the best. It's better than normal cheese. You got to try it. Yeah.
But
that's the thing, right?
Exactly.
The knowledge is still like missing among a lot of people, right?
Yeah,
it's just unfortunate, but we're getting there eventually, right? Somehow.
Well, you guys are doing an awesome job by having this podcast. I think more people are learning about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's such it's a service. I think we all need to get this message out. And you know what really bothered me about milk? I was like, oh, milk is so innocent. No, it's not.
Yeah, it's worse than eating the meat almost, right?
Yes.
It's cruel. They're going to turn into meat anyways after they've just lived the most horrible life that they ever had on this earth.
So you can imagine.
Yes.
Right, and all the purpose they had to live was to be machines, right? And serve us, like...
They're slaves. They are slaves to us.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And And the place where they inseminate forcefully the cows is called, flippantly, it's called the rape rack.
Yeah.
And I consider myself to be an egalitarian woman who believes in equal rights, and I'm sitting here going, and I support an industry that does that?
Yeah, like,
right.
I would be a hypocrite. I write my books about empowering women around the world,
yeah,
and here I support this horrible, it's another species, but how can I look at myself in the mirror, right? It's just horrifying. So, Julia,
exactly.
I have to thank you for opening my eyes on
oh,
that.
Oh, my pleasure. I mean, you're just very receptive and logical. I think that's why you get it, right? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, we're always learning, and the more knowledge we have, the better choices we can make, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
In life,
right?
in anything we do, right? So,
and
right,
it's
right.
not like you can't think like, oh, well, there's so many people that eat meat, you know, I won't make a difference. But there's so many
yes.
movements that started like that, you know, it's
right.
like a ripple effect, right? We all
exactly.
open our eyes and we don't want to support to this evil business, and you know, that's... how things change.
Well, it really comes down to supply and demand. The more people that don't mm-hmm. want that or support that industry disappears.
Exactly.
And you're seeing that
yes.
a lot with almond milk and
yeah.
soy milks. I mean,
that's
I don't even
so
remember
true.
Seeing an almond milk rack, and that rack with almond milk and soy milk is so much greater and bigger than the dairy milk
it's
section.
Crazy.
Is that right?
And I'm like,
now?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's, and people are just... they just choose almond milk over milk now. It's
right.
just a crazy time we live in. It's
we
great.
Have like this favorite almond milk we like to buy, and usually it's like sold out. We're like, what, again?
yeah.
Like we have
oh,
to
really?
Search for it like around town, you know? It's like
yeah.
oh, wow.
crazy. I mean, it's we think it's great, you know? Well, we can have
yeah, yeah.
almond milk next time. Go ahead, you other people. So
yeah, right. So.
Exactly.
So that's great. That means
yes.
demand is increasing. Oh,
for almond
awesome.
Milk, right. And then this, you know, the demand for milk is decreasing and they can't
yes.
keep up anymore. They have too much milk and not enough people having it, and the industry is starting to fade, I think.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the beauty
looks
about
good.
Almond milk is too, we actually support that bees are growing, you know, because they need to pollinate them, like the flowers.
Almonds.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
almonds.
You're right.
So that's the beauty about it too, right? We
mm-hmm.
That's
it's such
so
a beautiful
true.
Cycle here we have, because like with milk, you know, the milk industry and everything, dairy industry, we actually destroy more than we build,
yes.
you know? So that's
yes.
not
that's,
a good thing.
I didn't think of the bees. And that's a very good point. I love that. I saw in L.A., there was, you probably saw that when you were there, the big billboards that talk about, that are talking about milk, and they say, drink real milk, the nature's milk, trying to get people to go back to the real milk. But
right.
It's an industry built on lies.
Put your adult on pause.
Exactly.
That's
they like
the
to make it smart and
yeah.
kind of like sentimental, you know, because of you.
Nostalgic.
Yeah. Exactly.
Remember the time you had a great time drinking milk back
oh.
in the day when you
with
were a kid?
With your family
and
on the
yeah.
table, because a lot of families don't even live together anymore because you're always
but
busy
but then you
working.
Can say, remember when we used to have slaves and they did all your
yeah,
work for you? I mean,
exactly.
I feel like we're not moving
exactly.
forward. We're supposed to be
yes.
evolving, but I feel like we're still stuck here, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah,
like, we have
so
supermarkets
true.
Now. We have, you know, abundant of food, but yet people are stuck on this, well, our ancestors ate meat. I'm like, I don't care what your ancestors do. We're evolving
we
to become superhumans.
We have everything
exactly.
now. We need.
We're evolved to have plants, and we can, you know, cook meats or whatever, but we don't need
yes.
meat to survive. And so if we
no,
have an abundance of food in a supermarket, does it not make sense to live, you know, like the most healthiest, best way you can? You know,
right,
we have
right.
that ability and we need to evolve to get there. But I feel like
right.
industry and propaganda over the years and marketing has just driven us in a way that I think our new generation is just fed up with.
Oh, definitely.
I think that's why the
yeah.
vegan movement and plant-based movement is definitely going, you know, 2018, 2019. We're
yeah.
really
yeah.
aware where our food's coming from. Yeah, it's the future.
Right,
we need
right.
to move and evolve.
Right.
It's
yes.
the way to go for humans.
I'm excited. I'm
yeah.
so excited. But it all comes down to making the right choices, right?
Totally.
It's when you go to the market, supermarket, do you reach out for that blood-covered, blood-soaked piece of meat that's suffered, or are you going to go out then and reach out for the
right.
green peppers and beautiful tomatoes and eggplants? And you know what's awesome is when I make a breakfast every morning, and I make sure I have three types of fruits of different colors.
Oh,
and
yes.
I work out in the morning, And when I'm at the end of my workout, I'm already salivating for that tree. Like, it's beautiful. You have green kiwis and red strawberries. And the fact that I have that is I'm so grateful that nature makes these.
Right.
Isn't?
Yeah.
So we just have to make the right choices and
I just find, right? I find like, you know, when I became plant-based, I actually had more variety on my plate, you know, like
I
find out so much more about spices around the world that exist, right. You know, and all the, what you mentioned just now, the fruits and vegetables, you know, they're out there. Cause like, actually I knew a person, you know, I introduced him like to avocado and he didn't know it. Avocados
really?
Before, you know, it's like, wow, there's actually such a delicious thing, you know, but that's the thing when you go plant-based, you become more conscious about like
of where your food and what food there is out there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We want, I mean, in my opinion, I want to know like where my food is coming from, you know?
Yes.
And just be more conscious about your food choices.
Yeah.
Great. And did you guys also find that your taste buds adjusted to the point that all of a sudden you tasted the food better, like before. You know, that avocado taste is so flavorful, but you didn't know that because you were so busy numbed with salt and sugar and this chemical crap from eating the garbage, right?
Yeah, like the guacamole sudden, you buy at the store is like jam packed with sugar,
exactly.
And I'm like, I can't even eat that. I'm like, why do they make sugar in the guacamole? That's so weird.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I even noticed with Shane, you know, he would be very picky with certain vegetables, but when I cook meals at home and stuff, he actually started to like it, say carrots more and peppers, you know.
Taste buds just change, right? The more healthy you eat, the more healthy foods your body wants, right?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. They constantly change and, you know, hopefully for the better. I used to not like melons really, you know, but I started to like certain melons. I still don't like watermelon, but at least I like the other melons, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if someone wants to contribute to, like, a peaceful world, what do you think is the best thing that you can do, you know, being an author that writes about, you know, people across the world, right?
I love that question. I have a quote from Gandhi that I have on my wall. Gandhi's done some amazing, you know, he changed the course of an entire nation's history. But he has some funny quirks, which I, you know, when it comes to where, how he dealt with women. But having said that, he's still a great man. And I love one of his quotes. He says, "A nation's greatness is measured by how it treats its weakest members."
Right.
And
totally.
I love that because there are, you know, when I, my books are all about young girls around the world. And for many people in North America, this is probably a bit strange. Some people say, why do you even have to talk about that? But today there are 160 million girls missing from school. They're not just missing. They're being pulled back so that they can be used as kitchen helpers. They're married off at the ages of 9, 10 to men who are like 30, 40 years older than. So they're commodities. They're like a pig or a goat.
Right.
And you can sell them off. And their value is so little. I use that quote for my books because the weakest members of the human population are vulnerable young adolescent girls who are just coming to puberty and think that millions and millions, hundreds of millions of girls go through is horrifying. When I started becoming plant-based, I realized I was being, like I said earlier, a hypocrite because the weakest members in the entire world are the species out there who cannot speak for themselves. They do not have
a language
to articulate.
Sure.
Right. And they might not have the same intelligence as you and I as human beings, but they have the same emotions.
Right.
So a cow, when you steal their baby, the calf away, I have seen the cows cry.
Yeah.
And
for
just
days.
Like a mother, totally. A human mom, and you bring a little puppy to a fire, you know, and you bring it close, he might back off because the fire is too strong. The same thing with a baby pig or a little chicken. They have a desire to live.
Totally.
And
they're sentient beings.
These are the weakest. Right. And they're the weakest members. I mean, it counts to fish as well.
Sure.
I was at a restaurant, a sushi restaurant. This was way before I became fully vegan. And I remember there's a woman there who had worked on a fishing boat for a summer. And she said, My God, when we fished that tuna out, it took me a whole day to kill it. It was on the boat, struggling to live. And you realize every animal wants has a desire to live. They might not be able to articulate it. And how could we not, with our intelligence, isn't it our responsibility to treat those beings who do not have the same, the geniuses that we do? We just misuse it if we hurt them. Yeah. I think it's abusive, and it's our responsibility to save. Just like I talk about saving the girls, we need to extend that same feelings and compassion to animals.
Right.
So I don't know if I answered your question, but no, I was thinking. I think it's so important to summon up the courage to open your eyes and stop walking the short time we have on this earth with blinders on.
Right.
Open those eyes and ask some tough questions, but that requires intestinal fortitude. You need guts.
Yeah.
To do that, and
yeah.
many people would rather look away, right?
Sure.
Exactly.
So I think it's really important that we leave the world a better place than when we came into this world. I remember when I came into this world, it was in a different continent, a different place, a different time, not a very good place for a girl. And I want to make that difference. So when I die, I want to make sure that is not gonna. It's going to be different for all the little girls who come after me, and the boys as well. Children and animals. So I think that's my philosophy anyway. Leave the world a better place than when you came into this world, and we all can do our little part.
Sure.
And you said, Julia, that we all sometimes we think we're not good enough, but somebody said that you never doubt what a small group of people can do to change the world, and that's really the only thing that ever has, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, with any social movement,
right,
you're fighting against a war of way other, a bigger group of people, but you got to start with that small group, and eventually, as people start, realizing and getting the knowledge that they need, they start to realize, either is this immoral? Are we doing this? Is this, should we be doing this to these animals?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I just feel sometimes, let's say, talking about fishing, right? Like, some people think, well, there's so many fish in the ocean. It's not a big deal,
No.
We have so many cows and pigs, If we don't eat them, they're just going to overcrowd our world, right?
Well,
that's the thing, too.
If you want the most toxins and mercury in your system, go ahead and eat fish, because, they're probably the most deadliest food you can probably eat, but everyone thinks it's the most healthiest meat. Which is blows my mind.
We play God, right? That's what.
Yes, and I worked in that industry for the last 5 years, and I would not touch a fish with a 10-foot pole.
I never liked eating fish my entire life, so I had no problem. That was like the easiest one for me to give up. Actually, the hardest one for me was eggs. Cheese was pretty easy for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard another girl.
I'm totally opposite of you guys. I just. Just the eggs. I just was like, I like
not even
eggs.
Cheese wasn't that hard for you, Shane.
Not really. I just dropped it. Said, what are you gonna do?
Yeah. Oh, well, everyone's different, right? Like, it's also what our emotions are attached to sometimes,
totally,
too, right?
Yeah, emotion drives food cravings food, definitely.
Totally, and I feel like these dairy companies and all, like meat industries, they know, what kind of triggers our emotions, because what we eat, we usually do, emotional eating, right? Because it brings nice memories and stuff like that, but once we actually figure that out, we can control our mind better, I find. But talking about food, actually, Takiri, what's your favorite plant-based food item you can't live without? Because you're such a great baker, and we tried some great goodies from you, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not as good as you guys. You are awesome cooks. I'm watching your recipes every time.
I
love my fruit plate in the morning. This is going to sound really weird and strange, and I never would have expected me to say this 4 years ago, but I crave green stuff for lunch. Every lunch I have a salad or sandwich, and I always have either kale or lettuce or something green in there, like a cupful of green stuff in my sandwich or whatever, right? A couple of months ago, I was so busy with something, and I didn't have time. I had to get whatever. I think it was a manuscript to the editor by the end of the day. I had time to go to the grocery store. And I looked in my fridge, I want to grab a sandwich, but there was no green, there was no lettuce. I've run out of all my green stuff. And you know what was weird? I felt deficient. I felt weird. And when I ate whatever, I felt like this is not right. This is not tasty. This is not fulfilling. It was so weird. And so, and today I'm having the same problem, but today I'm going to the grocery store.
Nice.
I feel like you kind of, I don't know, your taste buds change and
totally.
It makes you feel so fresh and healthy that without it, you feel bad. So maybe you can change that emotional attachment and turn it around and make yourself attached to good stuff.
Yeah, you got to listen to your body. I mean, if you're craving those green, you might be craving certain minerals in those plant foods.
Your body
knows what it wants, and it will tell you.
True.
Totally. Yeah. It sounds like you're more in tune with your body, you know, the body's need, and that's the way to go, you know? That keeps you healthy and happy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, trying to.
Yeah. Did you notice when you went on a plant-based diet that, like, your plate could be, like, so much bigger than like a traditional plate, because you're just skipping the meat and the cheese, and those are like very calorie dense meals, right? So
yeah,
you find your plate getting bigger with more greens on it, like you could just eat so much more.
I can eat so much more. I used to eat, I'm tiny, but I eat a lot for my size. But I used to gain weight if I did that, but no longer. It's funny,
right.
I actually dropped weight, and I, you know, because I'm tiny, tiny bone structure, I can't get, if I get even 1 pound, it shows. It just shows.
Oh, yeah?
So, because you're small. If you're much bigger, I think, I don't know, maybe you can hide it. I don't know.
No, it's true, actually, right? Mm-hmm. Shane, you said that
really?
Too. Like,
yeah,
when you're tall.
The taller that you are, the more you can hide, you know, being
overweight.
Even if
you have a pot belly.
Yeah, even if you have a pot belly, because...
It stretches,
yeah, you just have, you have more, you know, structure to build on, right?
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's the proportional sizes, right? So if you're really tall and got a big belly, you might not notice it if someone that's really short and has a big belly, right?
That's not a good thing, though. Yeah. You hide it, but you still have it, right?
That's a good thing, I'm just saying, yeah. You just tend to not notice as much, especially when you're taller, because normally you need more energy being a taller person.
Definitely, you burn quicker, right?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you don't even have to diet, right? If you're on a whole, I mentioned the whole food plant-based lifestyle, you know?
No vegan cheeseburgers.
Fried stuff.
Fries.
Because that's really the key. That's the easiest, let's say, if people want to call it diet, you know, the keto and stuff, it's all garbage.
It's a lifestyle. Like, I don't even think it's a diet.
Yeah,
you should be, regardless of any diet you're on, should be eating mostly whole foods, plant-based
stuff. And what you do, you know, you eat your salads every day. That's amazing, you know, like, just combine it. Yeah, put salads in your, like, sandwich or just have a
smoothie.
On the side, always.
If you want to get a lot of greens in you, like really quick, a smoothie is a great way to get the nutrients in.
Oh, yeah.
Just try to keep it down on the fruits, because you're breaking down the fiber and you're getting the pure sugar out of it. But I do add a bit of fruit to it. But mostly vegetables, like it's basically like a vegetable smoothie.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really good. Yes.
The greens I like is a lot like the cilantro and parsley. They're very powerful. Even just simple, like, let's say, greens such as, like, let's say, iceberg salad, right, and stuff, because they're almost regarded as they're an herb, right? So they're more powerful and they have the high antioxidants and the minerals that you want. So, yeah. I mean,
that's good to
just
know.
Play with, like, rotate your greens as well, right? We have, like, the kale that's a... winter green, which is great. You know, you want to eat a lot
like
in the winter.
Purple kale.
Yeah, I love purple kale. Actually, I make like a kale chips
sometimes. But yeah.
Actually, at the co-op on Commercial Drive.
Okay, we'll have to go and get some.
Yeah, there's like a variety, right? You got to upgrade yourself all the time, I find, too. You know, about nutrition always changes. And you listen to Dr. McGregor a lot, right?
How not to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
so
he's
quite inspiring, right? So... But.
Yeah. Oh, but you make such a good point, you guys, about diet. I have friends, especially when I worked in the stressful jobs, you know, for the last 15 years, really, people were bigger, they looked unhealthy, but they would constantly go on diets that never sustained.
Yo-yo diets. The up and down.
Yeah.
Up and down, yeah.
You heard about the keto, right?
The keto.
Yeah, Jenny. I don't know
oh
about
my gosh.
Keto.
It's basically limiting your carbs
no
to the
carbs.
Point that your body burns the fat as energy. But as anything that's sustainable, that your brain uses glucose, and it's super inefficient for your body, and it's just right. not the way. It's people want quick results, and I think that's why they tend to go to there. But they don't see the bigger picture that it shouldn't be about quick results. It should be about a lifestyle change to get you to where you're
exactly.
going.
Exactly.
You should be doing it every day, not just for 2 weeks just
you
to lose a couple of pounds.
You don't
want to
feel like you're crashing.
Right. Yes.
I heard someone work. He actually fainted, you know, like
oh wow,
yeah, because you're not giving your brain the fuel it needs. Our brain is fueled off of glucose, and if you limit your carbs, you're definitely not getting as much glucose and energy for your brain.
It's too intense. It's like a shock to your system.
Yeah.
Wow. So the diet industry is like a couple of $1 billion worth, right? And probably even more now.
Sure.
But the solution is so simple. It's like you guys said, eat a plant-based diet.
Whole foods, plant-based diet. Yes.
Whole foods, exactly. Yeah. So I don't understand why we're all churning and
trying to figure out which way is the best way to go.
Exactly.
Because everyone always says eat more vegetables, but people tend to not do that.
Why don't you focus on
don't do it.
What not to eat instead of, you know, just take out what you shouldn't eat, because there's going to be so much you can actually eat.
Right.
Hopefully, right?
Yes.
But it's like, we know like the fruits and vegetables are good for you. Yes, fruits are good for you, right? And the certain amount, of course, too, right? But like vegetables, you can eat as many vegetables as you want.
Sure.
But like, even when you diet, right? Like keep a whole foods for a while so you can actually have some fiber like in your diet, because a lot of people just don't have enough fiber as well, because meat doesn't have fiber, right? Or any animal product doesn't have fiber.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So take that out and then actually feel that you're full from the fiber. But then some people get bloated or something, right? Because they have way too much fiber they weren't used to before because of all the animal products.
You're going through an ecological change in your stomach when you start having a bunch of fiber and trying to break down stuff. So it takes a little bit of time for your body to, you know, switch into a different burning mode and adjusting with the high fiber intake.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all adjustment and change, right? We got to just be – we are adaptable beings and we got to – be aware of that we are, you know. Actually, there's even said, like, if we would evolve, like, eating grass all the time, we would just get used to it. Not that I would promote that.
You know what they should do? They should have the grocery store should only have fruits and vegetables and, like, the things you need, not the things that you want.
I love that.
And I think it's just the industry, right? They're forcing you. They have the
money.
They have the lobbyists. Yeah. They have the money. Yeah. They can force the crappiest food and sell it as good for you. And that's where I think that a government needs to crack down on things like that and be like, hey, this is like equivalent to trying to sell cigarettes to a kid or something into that line. And they need to, they've been paid off. It feels like the government's been paid off when it comes to health.
Definitely.
And I feel like it's just starting to come to light when, you know, we're having so much more research and the internet has been the biggest help ever. We can, you know, we can see the truth now. Well, we're trying to see the truth. We never actually, you know, it's so convoluted, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But some of us look away because we don't want to. I have a couple of girlfriends who have gone through cancer and they continue to eat meat. They know it's bad for them.
Right.
But they just that willfully blind.
Sure.
You're willfully not looking away. But, you know, they were doing this research about who sits on the FDA, the federal, the regulation body when it comes to food and drugs in the U.S. as well as in Canada. I think it's not as bad as in Canada, but they're mostly retired or, you know, former employees of the dairy and meat
industry.
Yeah,
I heard about that. There was like a panel of 16. They found there was like 9 of them that had ties to the dairy and meat industry that were doing the National Health Guide
in the
USDA Health Guide in USA. That's crazy. Just to even think about it, that's so biased. That's like, you know, sending a tobacco person in and trying to sell that tobacco smoke is good for your lungs or something, right? Like, obviously they're going to have a bias on there.
Of course.
And we definitely, we're aware of it, that it's going on. Yeah. But I think people aren't aware to that extreme of like, they say say people force, you know, stop forcing veganism on me. So I'm like, have you opened your eyes, listened to the radio, looked at a billboard, went to any restaurant, and tell me they're not trying to force you with meat and cheese?
Exactly. Well, we're the evil ones.
Yeah,
right?
Can't exactly. Do it.
Are you kidding me?
The new Philly cheesesteak is available. And then Philly cheesesteak. So that's steak and cheese all into that one sentence. And you're just like, oh.
Oh, my God.
But I think we're in a constant marketing world that we just are blind to
like
see
war.
It. We haven't opened our eyes to see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know.
But we're getting there. Yeah. They say that it's going to be the biggest trend, a whole food, plant-based diet. Hopefully, I mean, we're intelligent beings. Hopefully, we're moving towards...
Right, we need to evolve, right? I keep saying we need to evolve to see where our food comes from, evolve...
And care, right? I mean...
To making it better for ourselves.
Be it you, the first step that wakes you up, be it for the animals or for your health, it's both actually anyways connected. So whatever it is that moves you, you know, go ahead with that, be it like health or for the animals.
That's so true. I don't know if you have time, but I do want to share this story with you guys, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Did you study with the marathon runners in Boston and New York? This is quite recent. And they asked the people who were planning to sign up, those who signed up, and then who actually completed the marathon. And the questions were in the line of, why are you running and what is this for? And what they found out was that all those people who ran because they wanted the medal, they wanted to get lean and fit, the short-term burst, right? Just like a diet. Or they wanted to, you know, it was a very extrinsic value, what other people think of me. Oh, it make me feel good. Tomorrow at the water cooler, I'll have some cool story to say that I ran a marathon. A majority of those people who said that's the reason they were planning to sign never signed up. At the end, they just didn't. Or if they did, they never completed the marathon or they never showed up.
Right.
The people who finished the marathon, other than the professional athletes who do this on a regular basis, those who actually finished it did it because they wanted to do it for someone else. Because they promised the sister who died of cancer that they'd run this and raise money for the Breast Cancer Foundation, or they wanted to show their family that they can be healthy. If you put that value on someone else, you want to help or you want to inspire somebody else, those are the people, this is the regular Joes, right, who've never run a marathon before, who finished the race. So I'm beginning to think that the people who stick to these changes, mindset changes, lifestyle changes, are those who do it for others, like my girlfriends who still eat meat even though they have gone through cancer treatments.
Right.
As soon as you do it for someone else, do it for your son who wants to see his mom grow up into a beautiful, you know, older woman who will be at his wedding, who won't pass away too early. That shifts you. And my big change in my lifestyle was to write books. I've taken a huge pay cut. I've changed a huge lifestyle, downsized crazily, but I'm sustaining this because I'm not doing it just for myself. If I did it for myself, I wouldn't be here. I'm doing it because I want to help all the 9-year-old girls around the world so that they will have the same opportunities I will have. That makes me wake up in the morning and go, Jakiri, get your butt in the chair and write those books and get your message out there. You can't. It's a responsibility. And I feel like same thing with the eating lifestyle. Do it for the animals. Just the fact that I saw those videos, I read stuff on how they were treated, I can't put a steak in my mouth anymore because how could I put suffering in my mouth, right? Like, I
totally
just can't do that. But if I did it because I wanted to lose weight and look good and sexy, then it'll last you for maybe a few months. And then I'll go back to eating meat, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I just feel like that's a huge mind shift change that I think will help people. Do it for someone else.
Totally.
That you care about.
Yeah,
I
totally.
Like that. Because, I mean, we have to live on this planet together, right? So the
yeah.
more people actually
yeah.
care for each other, then we build this beautiful net that we can create a more peaceful world, right? And hopefully happier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's been great talking to you, Takiri.
Yes.
Where can the listeners
Definitely.
Find you and which about your books? Where can they grab those if they want to?
Well, I have a couple of new books coming out, so I'll give you the website for that. I'm all
sure,
excited.
We'll put it up on the show notes as well, but if you just want to give a quick place where they can find you at. Yeah.
Thank you. So www.rebeldivas.com, and that's spelled R-E-B-E-L, Rebel, Divas, D-I-V-A-S rebeldivas.com. So Rebel Divas, and I want everyone to be a Rebel Diva, men included. Diva is not a feminine.
I can be a Rebel Diva as well? Okay, I'll be there shortly.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Nice. Well, thanks again for your amazing, precious time. And we really enjoyed having you on our podcast. And
yeah.
I'm sure we talk to you again. But for
now, maybe we'll bring you back when a couple more books come out and we'll talk about those.
Yeah.
Sure. Why
not? Thank you.
See how things are.
I want to thank you both for doing what you're doing, because I think it's a huge service. Everybody needs to hear this message. And thank you, Julia, for helping me come on this journey.
I'm
eternally in debt for that. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. I'm glad it makes you happy and it gives you even more purpose in life. I mean, we all need purpose in life, or we can't really be fully happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that is true.
Yeah, thanks for making a difference on this planet. And enjoy the sunshine today in White Rock, I guess.
Yeah, go for a walk on the promenade. And
I will. I might. Go for a run and near the beach. I will do that.
Sounds
good. Thank you, guys. And I hope you have an awesome day. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, take care, Takiri.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.